meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody and welcome. How you doing, Tony?
Hey, Father. Good.
Good, okay.
It's going to be expected, I guess.
Anyway, what can be expected?
I mean, I'm usually not good all the time, but today is, you know.
Well, let's, I'm having a difficulty here. Let's see. Okay. Okay, got it.
Test, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
So, we're in the month of October.
Yes.
Because I see
Pumpkinhead.
Pumpkinhead over there. Pumpkin hat.
I like that hat.
Yeah. Why don't we'll start with prayers. We should do all the time. And then I can get my, I just met somebody on the stairwell, and so I'm trying to determine what's going on, you know, in our neck of the woods over here.
Again. Yeah,
so they kind of really distracted me there. So anyway, and I was just out in the church too. They're doing the refurbishing the iconic monstrance.
Oh, that's nice.
So it's been here and there and everywhere all morning. So, but let's pray, and then that'll get us get refocused. Get focused. Today's a feast of Saint Faustina.
Faustina, yes.
Yesterday was a feast of Saint Francis. Friday was the feast of Saint Therese.
Wow.
Was it Friday or Saturday? Friday. Yeah. So we got a lot to talk about there. Okay. So let's pray, everybody. It's good to have you here with us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death, amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, through the same Christ, our Lord. You expired, Jesus. But the source of life gushed forth for souls in the ocean of mercy, opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. And from there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity, of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world, for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Therese of Lisieux,
pray for us.
Saint Francis of Assisi,
pray for us.
Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints in heaven,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So I was just thinking, why am I, you know, sometimes when you feel you're disturbed and you don't know why. So I met a guy on the stairwell over here, and it's awkward because you don't know whether to shake people's hands or not, you know? Yeah. And so my immediate response was to, you know, greet him and shake his hand. He was with the operations director.
Yeah.
And then I pause, and then what a strange and awkward world we live in today, right? Yep. And so, you know, we did, you know, but it's just you have that that hesitation, and it's disturbing because I don't want to offend anybody. You don't want to, you know, it's just crazy, isn't it?
It's funny. A friend of mine who I always greet with a handshake, I didn't, you know, I reached out, but then I stopped thinking, you know, hey, do we do this anymore? And he's like, no. Took my hand, said, no, take my hand. No. He was upset that I didn't, you know.
I'm late.
You're late, Jasmine. Late.
You're fine.
You're late. You're fired. Thank you.
Have a great
day. You too. Thank you. I mean, yeah, do whatever.
Right.
But have a good lunch.
You don't know, you know.
No,
and a lot of times, too, I, I've,
I'm like a hugger, you know. I hug somebody or take their hand and,
right.
you know, you don't.
Yeah, there was a couple of weeks ago after the Mass. I had gone to the back of the church. We had mm-hmm. a family Mass. It was actually 9/11 that weekend. Mm-hmm. Mask, no mask, shake hands, hug people. You know, because we're people. Yeah. Some people, like you said, they like to hug you. You know, like they shake your hands and all that.
What do you do? I hate when people do that. Sometimes when they back off, and that's your indication to know, okay, I won't accept the hug. Or
things are pretty normal. And then towards the end, and I was there for quite some time. So yeah. you know, the people are very kind here,
right?
You know, kind to me,
right?
And then I was, as I was leaving, there was a gentleman who I'd never seen before, mm-hmm. and I went to shake his hand, you know, because at that point that's it was out of my, and yeah. he backed off and said, 6 feet. 6 feet.
6 feet.
So I said, oh, I don't want to offend him, but even with a mask, you know, I do wear the mask when I'm giving communion out and all that.
See, again, that's... It's funny.
We talk about this all the time, yeah. but everybody is talking about it.
I've had this experience where somebody tells me 6 feet, okay? And okay, 6 feet, but we're both masked, and I'm not the one talking. So I would assume, and again, maybe I'm wrong, but I would assume the person that's talking is probably the one that's going to get me. The danger is toward me. I'm sitting there in a mask. I'm coming toward you, but we both have masks on, and you're the one talking about how I'm going to kill you.
Really?
Or hurt you in some way.
Yeah, well, anyway, it's we can go in circles about that, but it's on people's minds because it's the world we live in today.
And yeah.
So anyway, which... By the way, and I should have brought the book down, and I didn't. Mm-hmm. When I was in Rochester, I was reading a book called Prodigal Church.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, I haven't finished it. Since I'm back here, I don't have the time, you
right.
know, to read. And
that's the only time you can read when you're away?
When I'm away, you know, and it takes a day just to kind of disengage and mm-hmm. and get a little bit of rest. And then, you know, sometimes you're too tired to read, you know.
Yeah.
But this book is really good, and it speaks about the, you know, we can't lose perspective, you know, in the sense that when we speak of the church or the mystical body of Christ. By the way, I heard somebody, or people are saying this more and more, I'm hearing this, I'm a global citizen, you know, a global citizen.
But who isn't?
Huh?
I'm trying to say, who isn't?
Well, we all are part
right.
of the, right, but
right.
as opposed to being an American or
right.
being a Mexican or being Polish or being, yeah. you know, I'm a global citizen, and all that kind of fits into the the new world order and the
right.
new reset, the big reset or the new reset, whatever they call it. You know, all this stuff I thought was all conspiratorial, you mm-hmm. know, years and years ago when I would hear these things, and today I'm convinced that this is a reality. There is a... We're in this new reset or this mm-hmm. new world order. And so I find it so offensive because it's almost like you know, I was speaking on Sunday. I mentioned, you know, when my father mm-hmm. Was dying, he wanted three things in his coffin. He said he wanted to be in his uniform, his mm-hmm. military uniform. He was a career man in the service, in the military. He wanted thank God he had lost a lot of weight when he was sick because mm-hmm. he fit perfectly into the uniform. So he had his uniform. He had it, wanted it cleaned and, you know, all that stuff. And so the family did it. And so he wanted that. He wanted his wedding band mm-hmm. on his finger, because it always was, and his hands wrapped in the rosary.
Yeah.
And... So the reason why I say that is, I think I said at the Mass, you know, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be an American, right?
Yeah.
To love your nation, or to love, if you're Polish, to love Poland, or if you're Mexico, to love Mexican, mm-hmm. Mexico, if you're Mexican, to love Mexico. Cool. In fact, you know, when they have the these different Independence Days, like I didn't realize, and I've been with the Mexicans for so long working in the parish, but there's Cinco de Mayo,
mm-hmm.
And then there was this one just a couple of weeks
ago.
The
11th.
What was it? Constitution Day or something?
I think it was the, oh gosh, Angelica told me about this. I feel terrible not knowing it right now. But the
point is, these are two
two different
national holidays in Mexico. And the Mexicans proudly bring out their flags. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with the Puerto Ricans and the Polish. The Poles mm-hmm. have their...
See, I wonder, and again, and it just may be this generation, we've lost track of, you know, our history. I mean, America is a mixture of all kinds
of
different people.
Sure.
But we should all be on the same, you know, continent. We're Americans, you know, we're Americans, although we each hail from different places.
Yeah,
and there's nothing wrong with
it. No, not at all. And people... cherish their ethnicity or their background. People are what is that? I've never done that, but
I think it's Mexican Independence. Is Mexican? No, that's no.
Well, one of them. One I think is Constitution Day or whatever. But yes, of course. You know, it used to be that and Chicago was a perfect example of the. And we've talked about it many times. The neighborhood you identified with your neighborhood. It was a Polish neighborhood or a Irish neighborhood or an Italian neighborhood or a Greek town or whatever. And there's something beautiful about safeguarding and protecting your identity, your roots in a sense. But but at the same time, there was this this great pride in being an American.
Right.
And the problem is today that there's so much that militates against the American ideal. Yeah. To want to be to be able to live where you have the right to life, liberty, mm-hmm. and the pursuit of happiness, and you're able to build your life and. You know, all these wonderful stories of people who built their own little businesses and all that, and it just seems like it's all being pulled apart, taken down, and this the deconstructing mm-hmm. history or revisionist history. I find it really offensive, the renaming of schools and the taking down of statues and this is all part of our history, for good or for bad. You know, nobody's perfect, only save Jesus Christ and the Blessed Virgin Mary, but we've all got defects. Even if you read the lives of the saints, and they were perfected, and they were fully disposed and allowed themselves to be perfected by the grace of God. They cooperated. But they, if you're looking for the perfect saint without any flaws or any foibles or any idiosyncrasies, or you're not going to find that, mm-hmm. This what's going on in the country is just so sickening, and it's going on all over because there is this great reset or this trajectory towards a new world order where God is eliminated, quite frankly. At least the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who's revealed himself fully in Jesus Christ. And about, I'll tell you one thing, I heard something this morning too, and I just don't believe this. I'm not going to repeat it because it's so horrible, but it was an AP news item on the, I'm sorry I even mentioned it, but I heard it and I thought,
this can't be real.
This can't be real. This just can't be real. But anyway, I'm not going to, I don't want to disturb anybody's day. Even though we do it all the time, I think, when we come on the radio. Not intentionally, no. We're trying to be realistic.
Right.
Bring hope. But the thing is, reading this book, The Prodigal Church, it reminds us, puts things in perspective, that we're part of the mystical, where I wanted to go, the mystical body of Christ. You know, so if and as Catholics, we got to really re-identify, perhaps, ourselves, or understand this this mystical body that we're, yes, we're all, in a sense, global citizens. We're all part of the world. And but that doesn't mean we have to obliterate all distinctions or all nationalities, mm-hmm. and everybody has to be alike.
When you think about that, too, it's like it's too big. You know? Of course we're global, but I mean...
The problem with the, like with technology and right. The Internet and all that, which is a great source of good, but also mm-hmm. a great source of evil as well. I heard something this morning, too, about that, too, you know, and it's with a student and not one of our students, but, you know, these kids get trapped. There's a lot of scamming going on, yeah. and it's really quite sad. It's really quite horrific what's going on. Parents really should be very astute to what their children are watching or when you start getting into these texting and whatever it is, all this... Mm-hmm. this I don't even know what Instagram is, to be honest. What is Instagram?
It's where it's like Facebook. I mean, you could put it's mostly pictures and, you know, share pictures and things yeah. like that. It's like a Facebook for just pictures and little videos and things like that.
So young people are getting trapped
yeah.
into this, and
it's another type of Facebook type thing. Yeah. Are you thinking Instagram? Did you say Instagram?
Well, I don't know if it was just Instagram or what, but
I think Instagram is more the pictures and the little things, but the other stuff is just communication.
What I understand it happening is people are connecting mm-hmm. on one of these social media
yeah.
Devices or
I think
whatever.
There'll be more of that too. I'm sure.
And then you know, it's like they develop a relationship, and yeah. then they want you to send a picture and all yeah. that. And you get one. You
see I think that happens.
And then they get trapped yeah. because then all of a sudden,
so you never know who that person is.
If you don't, you know, $500 or $1,000, yeah. or I'm going to yep. report you or something like that. Yeah. That's what I yeah. Heard. And
I get those little scams too now, saying, "Oh, you've been doing this, and we know we got you." I even get calls that say, "Hey, this is the police. We're going to be coming to your house."
Oh, really?
And just, you know, touch a link or call a number back, and that's how they get you, and then they extort you.
Unbelievable. But these poor young people, I mean...
And I see this honestly, and it's not only the young. It's a lot of older people.
And you're right.
Because no one thinks. I have a friend at work that got the same call, and it's like, she's about ready to, you know, give her information, and then she realized, wait, you don't do that. And people... In a busy day, you just get caught up. Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Okay, I'll give you my. And then you think, oh, I got scammed.
That was going here at the. This was and something happened. And Nick got caught up in that too. What was it? This happens every so often.
Yeah.
Which is really really interesting. Where people from the parish mm-hmm. get an email message from me, supposedly from
asking
me,
asking for money,
asking for money, even to the point that saying I'm at the hospital. There was one that as if they knew whoever was doing the scamming, they knew about my situation.
They got your list of telephone numbers. That's how that works, or your list of email. Once they get that, they know who you talk to, who you talk regularly to, and you could send those. I always get it from a certain person here, and I know that's not from him because he never texted me with stuff. And that's how I think that's how we all got caught in that. Somebody got our numbers, and that's how it goes. And, you know, if you're not thinking about, oh, well, Father, oh, sure, I'll do anything for Father, and you always question that because...
There's going to come a point where I'm going to retire my telephone, retire my...
And they're still getting that information. So
I actually went through a whole week without even checking my phone. I don't carry my phone around with me.
I got to admit, I don't know. I've always been this way, but I see it more and more. I see it with others, how they can't stop touching the phone.
Oh, no, of course. Yeah.
And I find myself doing the exact same thing. Then you get angry because somebody's not calling you, or you kind of expect somebody to call you. It's a weird feeling.
Yeah, no.
I can just keep it away, and a lot of times, too, I mean, in the car, sometimes I throw it. I throw it to the back seat. I know it's not going to hit anything, but, you know, Angelica looks at me and says, what's your problem? I says, well, I just don't want to be able to be on this phone.
I never carry the phone with me. It's rare that I would do that. And as I said, there was a whole week where I didn't even look at the phone. Mm-hmm. I tend to, you know, do more email.
Yeah.
But even that, you know, I've got thousands of emails, and they get buried, just like, you know, get you know, 12 phone calls that come in a matter of, let's say, 4 hours. It's impossible.
And see, let's be honest. I mean, this is a good thing in a sense. I mean, for people to be able to, you know, 10 people talk at a time, have a call, a video call and stuff like that, that's good. But the backside of that, or you know, is you've got to still be on this phone. You got to organize that.
I just
that.
Don't
you
like gotta, it. I you know, I'd prefer to go back when before we you know, when you had to go to an encyclopedia and find out your information.
It might be. That's another thing too. You at the touch of a, you know, button, you could get information. And now, and I was thinking about this, as there's times I do sit and I just think about things. You can't even trust some of this information now. So in a way, what good is it?
Right,
if you have to still say, okay, well, Wikipedia told me this, but then there's all these things that are wrong about it. So I'd like to crack open a book and research something. I don't want to be able to keep going to a little handheld computer that tells me everything.
But you can't. But it's so time consuming to
it is,
you
get,
because
exactly.
Everything. And I'll tell you, and then we'll take a break and get into the Saints, which I think we need.
Yeah.
We're just... woe is me. Woe are we, or woe are we. Yeah. What do we say? What's woe is me? You know, life is so bad. No, it is, until you can kind of detach. You got to detach. We call it holy detachment. Detach from good things. Mm-hmm. Saint Maria Faustina speaks beautifully about prayer, and you know, we've got to create that space for God in order to maintain sanity in this world that is increasingly sick and insane, in my estimation.
Yeah.
Really. But the detach from some of this stuff, a lot of this stuff, you know, fasting, you know, to fast from technology in order to regain a sense of yourself. Anyway, I was going to say something and I forgot what it was, so we'll just take a break and come back and talk about St. Francis of Assisi, St. Maria Faustina, St. Therese. We've got today, this October is a month full of saints. But this book, the bottom line is the book Prodigal Church, there's a fantastic chapter about how we've got to remember that we're in the battle. On the way, we say this all the time, but not to forget that we're part of this mystical body. So we've got the beauty of the incarnation and the Paschal mystery, the fact that God took on our flesh, that He redeemed us and saved us through the shedding of His own blood on the cross. We've got this this church in triumph. And we've got to really, you know, look to that church, because that's when we talk about the churches. If we just look at ourselves, if we just look at the church in the here and the now of our reality, then there's cause for a lot of discouragement, especially right now, this day. And that was something that I heard this morning that I don't want to repeat. But we've got to keep our eyes on, certainly on God. We can't take our eyes off away from God, not for a moment. But we've got the Blessed Virgin Mary and the saints who are, you know, as we say, when we celebrate the Holy Mass, the sacred mysteries of our faith, there's only one spectator, that's God the Father. There's a principal character in that sacred drama, and that's Jesus Christ, and the rest are all in the drama as well. We're all characters in this sacred story. But all in and through Jesus, but all directed to the Father. He's the only spectator, but the principal character is Jesus Christ. But it's not only we who are in the exile, in the valley of tears, in spiritual battle on the way, but we've got present with us the angels and the saints and the Blessed Virgin Mary. All centered around Jesus, and again through Jesus to the Father, and all by the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. So we'll take a break. We'll be right back. Let's see. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
911, what's the nature of your emergency?
When we're in crisis, where do we turn? We turn to our first responders, the people who run to danger to protect us. These days, our first responders do not often receive the acknowledgement they deserve for their bravery and personal sacrifice. On Sunday, October 24th at 10 a.m., St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish celebrates a blue mass recognizing our first responders, including police, fire, and emergency medical personnel. Come and celebrate with us at the Blue Mass Sunday, October 24th at 10 a.m. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Visit ststandschurch.org.
The Winds of Change. The Winds of Change.
Here are two new books from EWTN Publishing. Mother Angelica's Guide to the Spiritual Life, from the nun who made it her life's work to instruct millions. This volume assembles her most profound and timeless advice on how you can grow in holiness and achieve your ultimate purpose, to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. And Blue Collar Apologetics by John Martignoni, how to explain and defend Catholic teaching using common sense, simple logic, and the Bible. Mother Angelica's Guide to the Spiritual Life and Blue Collar Apologetics by John Martignoni. Available now at EWTNRC.com. By Catholic, shop EWTNRC.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. I'm Father Anthony, and the two Tonys here. Always complaining about, always wanting to bring you down, bring everybody
down. It doesn't matter. You just get older and you start complaining.
I wonder about that myself, too, you know. Right. Sit there, is it just because
I'm, if it is, I'm
but you're
good
not
with
old.
It.
You're,
I'm
you're,
not, I feel you know, but still.
You know, I mean, I I'll tell you, I just was writing for the bulletin, the account of St. Ignatius of Antioch. Mm-hmm. His going to the lions, and he was on his way from Antioch. He was a prisoner, right, being sent to Rome for execution, thrown to the lions, to the beasts. And he writes seven letters to the different churches, and one of them is I wrote it for the bulletin because I thought it was really interesting. You know, but how he was anticipating his death, and he was ready to go. And it's interesting because he says, we'll bring it up next week and we'll read it. But he's speaking to the Christians, right? Mm-hmm. And says, you know, I'm willing, I'm ready, I want this, I want this, I want this. I want to go to God. I want to go to. I hear this voice saying, "Come to the Father, come to the Father," and. So I want to be, you know, I want this, and then he says, but if you try to get in the way, you know, then don't do it. Or if I change my mind, don't let me change my mind. Now he really had no choice because he right. was well. I guess
nothing he can do.
I guess he could have, because if he would have renounced his faith.
Mm. Then he would have been free.
Then he could have been free, perhaps, you know. But it's a very interesting letter that he writes. Where yes, this is what I want to do. But if I change my mind, don't allow me. And help me. You know, you prod me on. You know, keep me going. Very interesting. But yeah, we got to look to the saints, because there's our hope. You know, and the fact is, you know, what we're going through now in the world, and I don't think we have to say much about it, even though we always do. But kind of in a roundabout way, because you know, I like
that. I think it's healthy. Not to interrupt, but you want to figure things out. I think that's the first step, and it's not so much the complaining about it. It's like you feel helpless. You're only one person, and you think to yourself. And I do this very much. That's why I kind of stopped looking at TV and the news. I mean, I like to know what's going on, but I keep thinking, are people this? tricked, or when will people in mass just wake up and say, "Hey, we've been fooled. We can't go on this way." What is the point that, you know, people start saying, "Okay, this is just crazy"? Because I think in our daily hassles of taking care of kids and doing things, paying the bills and whatever, you don't think about this stuff until it's right upon you. And then when it's upon you, you say, wow.
So I find, you know, in this sense, there is a certain consolation when somebody feels they have the freedom to speak their mind, even though they don't know. It's just as you just said. Because I think sometimes when we talk, all right, when I talk, you know, people say, well, what are you talking? What are you getting at? You know, what, you know, it's like I'm not being maybe specific enough, right? Because I don't know. Because there's this confusion. What is truth? What is untruth? Mm-hmm. I don't want to speak an untruth. Like I say, you know, when we talk about, you hear this, all this talk about the new world order, the new reset, or I hear this. You hear this all the time too. And this is what people come up and they feel comfortable enough. It's kind of like they kind of fill you out like, where are you at? Because right. I don't know. Do I have the freedom to speak about this or speak about what's on my mind or what's in my heart? But more often than not, what happens is people come up and they speak about this anxiety they're feeling,
yeah,
because they don't know what's going on. And you know, who's running the government, and what's happened to the church? Mm-hmm. So it's not that they just have this intuition, but they see things happening. You know, by way of, you know, just by being, to be specific, you know, the whole debacle in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
We watched that. What happened? How did this happen? Not that we shouldn't, it was the longest war in the history of our nation. It was a time to move beyond that, but the debacle, how it happened, and who was left behind, and an entire Air Force base was left. I mean, a base, military base, was abandoned, and all the weaponry, you know, billions of dollars.
There are people I talked to today that, again, I don't. It's funny because the minute you spoke, you kind of told everybody the side you're on. And the sad thing is, again, it shouldn't be that way. We should be able to speak freely. But even further, when I talk to people, my problem is I honestly talk to people that don't care about what I consider what you just said was pure sense. You can have your issues about what you want. You can be on whatever side you want. That's what America is. We're free to have that.
Used to be.
It used to be. Exactly.
Yeah, we saw with our own eyes what was going on.
And then you can't go past what you actually see.
The other thing is, you know, the fact that the border is wide open. And it's
again.
And if you say that, you know, then, you know, you run the risk of being called... what's the word? You're being prejudicial. You're being racist. You don't want. No, it's not that at all. We're as we started out, we're a nation of immigrants.
Right. Right.
But when the government irresponsibly does nothing about the border,
and you see that,
and you see it, and it's right in your face, and they do.
I have a neighbor that says nothing is going on at the border.
Well,
and again, I mean. In that example, what do you then say? There's really nothing to say.
Or then you get into the whole thing with the virus and the vaccine and all that kind of stuff.
And again, I'm just saying, people, we need to put this Father Lawyer had something he said a while ago, and I remember, why does it have to be this or that? You know, you need to put these. I don't know if they're allegiances or whatever, to party and use common sense. Common sense, anybody that's talking, even if you're offended by what I say, go do the research. Go look for yourself to see if maybe what I'm saying doesn't upset you so much, but think, well, maybe there's some sense in that. Go look and research this. I'm not making this up. People are not making this up. When you see with your own eyes something and somebody's telling you, oh, no, that's Nick will understand this. It's a Jedi mind trick. Oh, no, no, no.
Those are not the droids you're looking for.
No, the gaslighting and all that.
Yeah.
No,
it's and again, maybe at this point, let's stop this because it could keep going on.
Yeah, well, Saint Faustina said, you know, oh, soul steeped in darkness, do not despair. All is not yet lost. Come and confide in your God who is love and mercy. Wow. And this is, I think, that's why I thank God that our doors are open, because the doors of the church, I've added hours of confession, which Father, really went so well nice. On Sunday. You know, I didn't eat at all Sunday, and I wasn't even hungry.
When I read that, the first thing I thought, Father, you're going to kill yourself.
No.
Because I know the little bit of time you have, but I thought to myself, wow, that was
great. This was great, and we had, there were so many people already waiting for the confession at after the 11:30 Mass, after the noon Mass. It's not at noon, so I probably got into the confession about 1:15, no, maybe a little later, between 1:15 and 1:30.
And it's real funny because before Mass on Sunday, your homily was really powerful, and it was things I was thinking of, but I was also thinking, and I still have to do this to a friend of mine, and I have to tell them, confession.
Yeah.
And even before I read what you were going to do on Sunday, I thought, wow, that is exactly what it is. Confession, people don't understand how powerful
the sacrament
is.
Exactly.
And the fact that it's, I think of places where it's only on Saturday between 1 and 2, you know, once a week, and I think we're so blessed here that you're here.
So we do confessions in the evening, okay? Yeah. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. So Wednesday's a break because I'm only human, and so we do the confessions from 6. It usually goes right up to 7 o'clock, you know, and then Mass is at 7 o'clock. And I've always wanted to have more hours for confession.
Yeah.
So Saturday's impossible because we've got weddings and quinceañeras and baptisms and funerals. Oftentimes, funerals are because Saturday is not a work day for many people. So when somebody dies, they prefer to have a Saturday funeral. And then we have the evening Mass. So it's just by the time I finish the evening Mass, we always do the chaplet, and then we go right into Sunday, right? So I have to prepare for Sunday. I'm always preparing, but. And then Sunday's just a full day of Masses, so the only time I have is that afternoon. But I thought that's time that could be used for the sacrament, because not everybody can hear confessions. You have to be a priest to hear confessions.
Right.
And so I thought, well, I'll just try it. But I felt really inspired to do that, and I was really excited. Even Saturday night when I went to bed at the end of the day, knowing that I had to get up at 5 in the morning and go right into the 7 o'clock Mass, I was excited because we were going to have confessions. And it worked beautiful. I didn't eat. I'm not patting myself on the back by no means, but I didn't eat until after the final Mass. And then we did the rosary after the Mass. So by the time I got to my room, it was already 8 o'clock or 8:30. And I hadn't eaten at all during the day, and I didn't even feel hungry. That was the thing. I didn't feel hungry. Only once in the confessional, I almost kind of dozed off. You know, there was a wonderful voice that was just very soothing, and it almost made me doze off. But it was great. But the thing is, and here too, as we're talking about, you know, the people, they. It's not just an intuition. They see what's happening, and they're so confused. And just to know that they can, even in the confessional, maybe say something about, you know, what's happening to me? Why the distress? Why the stress? Why the anxiety? You feel it, and as I mentioned, I think last week, or I read this or heard this a few weeks ago, that the nation is going to a psychological trauma.
Yeah.
This is a psychological warfare. This is a biological warfare. I truly believe that.
Yeah.
I truly believe that. This virus, the virus is real.
Yes.
But how it's been politicized and all that. But anyway. We're not going to get into those saints, and that's why I keep saying we got to focus on the saints.
We will get.
But again, as Saint Maria Faustina, her feast day is today, she says, "O soul, soul, steeped in darkness, do not despair. All is not lost, is not yet lost. Come and confide in your God, who is love and mercy. Or it's Saint Teresa, whose feast is coming up too, Saint Teresa of Avila, who said, you know, let nothing disturb thee, let nothing affright thee. All things are changing. I mean, all things are passing. God never changeth. Patient endurance attaineth to all things, who God possesseth, and nothing is wanting. Alone God sufficeth. And that's, you know, God is our only stability, is our only constancy. And so to build this relationship, to nurture this relationship with God is absolutely important today. And we've got to give our children that foundation. If we don't, see, they're not going to know where to go, what to do. We've got to get, you know, if we're not comfortable with, and that's why we look to the saints. How do they do it in their day and their time? I mean, Francis of Assisi was, I was reading, again, I have to be reminded, and I made a mistake last night on his feast day, because I knew that he had the calling that came to him at the Church of San Damiano, but it was a gradual thing, you know. He was first of all, his parents spoiled him. They were merchants, when silk merchants or whatever, and they evidently spoiled him, you know. And he was just kind of carefree and kind of got the, you know, you think of somebody who's just spoiled, you know, not responsible. But he ended up in the military because there was always these skirmishes going on between like Assisi and Perugia, which is I've taken the train often to, so Assisi, the next stop is Perugia. Well, they were always in battle, always these skirmishes, and he was in the military, ended up in prison in Perugia. He was wounded and he was kept there a year, got sick while he was there, and it was then that he began to experience the futility of his life of pleasure and leisure and frivolity and all that kind of stuff. And so he began to delve into, or to begin to nurture his relationship with God. But then when he got out of the prison and went back to Assisi, he kind of got caught up again in his own pursuits and that were not godly, but had this conversion in this ongoing conversion. Everything deepened when God spoke to him from the cross at the Church of San Damiano, St. Damian. And the Lord said, you know, my church is in ruins. Rebuild my church. Everybody remembers that. And he was moved deeply by that and thought it meant that he had to rebuild or repair San Damiano. And so he took from his father gold and fine linens and this, garments and all that. He went to sell it all and was completely reprimanded by his father and was hid in a cave for a long time. But anyway, eventually he came out of that and he renounced all things in order to give himself completely over to Jesus. It's interesting. I was reading that he would open the scripture, and it always, everywhere he opened to it was, you know, sell everything and give to the poor. Wow. Sell it. And he took that very, very seriously, very literally, and he did that. And what's interesting, what's really how God's grace works, because, and finally God's, you know, he's building the Church of San Damiano, repairing. No, that's not what I meant. I want the church. My church is in ruin. It's morally, spiritually, it's in ruins, and I want you to rebuild my church. And so how God's grace worked through this one man and all those who left everything to follow him, to follow Christ, and the women as well, the poor Clares. So there's Clare. Their first convent was in the Church of San Damiano. You can go to it today. But it was such a powerful, powerful manifestation of God's grace that it truly brought a reform, renewal to the church. And every saint, it's the same story, you know. And the church says of herself that she's always in need of renewal, always. And so in every generation, there's need for renewal, need for reform. But the only way that's going to come about is through sanctified lives. We have to be saints. Keep telling the people that here now, we've got to be saints. We got to ask the Lord, pray the Lord, raise up the saints. I want to be a saint. And that's a, not to be a statue in a church where the people light candles. No, but to have that sanctified life so that in spite of my foibles or idiosyncrasies or my shortcomings, my sins, you know, that there is this quest, this search for God, this giving of my, you know, we got to give, today we got to give our lives to Christ and hold nothing back. Understand again, the Mass is renewing our covenant with the Lord, offering our lives a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, our spiritual worship. This is the only way the church is going to, it's not going to be programs, it's not going to be, you know, all this stuff that, you know, using the model of a corporation or, mm-hmm. And this is what's been going on throughout the world, and it's not going to work. It's got to be holiness of life. We've got to be saints. We've got to really allow Jesus to take full possession of our lives. We have to, as he says, die to yourself, lose yourself, decrease it, he increase. Only then will this come about. And so we, at this time, at this very, very difficult time in the life of the church and in the world that is increasingly enveloped in darkness, and it's a reality. It's a universal reality. The virus right now is a weapon that seems to be working, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the fixation our nation has on critical race theory, this gender ideology, or all this kind of all this, you know, when you think of other countries around the world, like China, mm-hmm. like Russia, they see this in America. You know,
what must they think?
They see the debacle that happened in Afghanistan. You know. So, yeah, I mean, China right now is flying warplanes over Taiwan.
Yep.
You know? So, the economy, again, I don't want to, you know, be the bearer of bad news. But see, most people know it, and that's what they say. They say, we need to know that we're not crazy.
That's
we
why
see
I'm
this.
Not saying anything, because I'm usually the negative, really negative one, but you're making sense. I agree with all of this.
But our hope is in God. Yeah. And, you know, that's why, you know, it's like Ignatius of Antioch said, like St. Monica said, like all the saints have said, there's a point where we really know we're strangers in a foreign land or foreigners in a strange land. And we know that we're, you know, more than being a global system, because you don't want to be a system, a citizen of a corrupt, disordered world, but that you pursue the kingdom of God, the mystical body of Christ, which is not only universal, but it's eternal.
Yeah.
It's eternal. We're not condemned to be here forever. Every generation has their fight, and we're certainly in our fight. That's the truth. You know, Jesus didn't deceive us in that regard. He said, you're gonna be persecuted. You're gonna be hated. You're gonna have trouble. You're gonna have distress. But take courage. Take courage. Be at peace and take courage, because I've conquered the world. And so, as Saint Maria Faustina said, O soul, steeped in darkness, do not despair. All is not yet lost. Come and confide in your God, who is love and mercy. If we had no recourse to God, and that's the thing, where do you go?
Yeah.
If we haven't recourse to God, you know, to who do we lean into? You know, because it's a disaster all across the board. We're going to take a break, Nick. I know it's a little bit late. We'll take a break and then we'll come back and wrap up. So, everybody, I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change. Don't go away. This is the new EWTN Catholic radio voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
911, what's the nature of your emergency?
When we're in crisis, where do we turn? We turn to our first responders, the people who run to danger to protect us. These days, our first responders do not often receive the acknowledgement they deserve for their bravery and personal sacrifice. On Sunday, October 24th at 10 a.m., St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish celebrates a Blue Mass recognizing our first responders, including police, fire, and emergency medical personnel. Come and celebrate with us at the Blue Mass Sunday, October 24th at 10 a.m. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Visit.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy, and you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org. St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change as we wrap up. I'm so sorry we didn't get to all that. But let me just say about St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, because I just find this fascinating. And we can come back to this, too, and yeah. We will, because there's all kinds of feast days this week and next week. October's full of them. But she lived in the 1930s. She died at the age of 33. In Poland, the Lord appeared to her. And she knew when she was 7 years old that she had a vocation, that she wanted to give her life to Christ, or Christ wanted her life. And she got caught up in, you know, the ways of the world, and she was at a dance, and Jesus appeared to her and said, how long do I have to wait? Mm-hmm. And he was, bleeding and, right. Beaten and all that, and so she immediately ran to the church of St. Stanislaus Kostka, of all places, in I think it was in Lublin, Łódź or Lublin, Poland, and she gave herself to Christ. She became the secretary of the Divine Mercy, and Jesus revealed the message of mercy. We actually prayed a decade of the chaplet. And he also said that a spark would come out of Poland and prepare the world for my second coming. And in any case, and we'll come back to this, her writings were suppressed, but in 1978, was it, that Pope John Paul II was raised to the chair of Peter, and his whole papacy was spreading the message of God's mercy, that this is a time of grace. We must return to God before the day of judgment. We must return to God. In other words, the gates of his mercy are open. And that's the Holy Mass, confession, but in your own personal lives, right now, just and every day, renew your covenant with the Lord. Stay with the Lord. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's got his eyes on you. We'll come back to this. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such be strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.